Revelation 2. So the first thing about first love is what? Connection. Connection. Ongoing conversations with the Lord. Ongoing conversations. No, I said, wow, this is tiring. No, if you have a real relationship, you will talk. You will talk. You know, it's not like, okay, Jesus, I pray my 1 hour. Okay, enough. Can I come back tomorrow? No, I used to do that, though, the 1 hour prayer, 5 minutes for this. Wow, thank God it's over. Oh, Jesus, I see you tomorrow. Now things have changed. It's because of love. No, I'm not saying that. I keep going. My goal is to have talking to Jesus all the time. I can't be because I talk to my wife. So, yeah. So, but my goal is having the ongoing conversation with the Lord. Stay in touch. Stay connected. You know, that's why my phone has no data plan because I don't want too many people to call me. So when I get out, no Wi-Fi, that's it. No, I always say this, be disconnected with the world. No, be disconnected with the world, but stay engaged with the heart of God. You know, sometimes you're too busy. All these things are good, but all these things keeps us away from the Lord. Do you realize that? Every time, wow, Facebook, tweet, you know. God give you a revelation, you tweet daily. You haven't asked God for permission, no copyright, you know. No, I'm just kidding. You realize that? You know, the greatest challenge of the modern society is things that keep us away from God. Internet. Well, last time, you know, when I was looking for the church, to log in into internet takes 5 minutes. You remind, you turn on IDA me, no. You turn on the thing that, shh, then connected. Right, remember the sound? You all still remember the sound? You all probably won't. So young. Annabelle, no. Yeah, there's this little box and got all the red buttons and you stay connected to the dial and whatever. You got to sit there and wait, you know. Shh. Connected. After 5 minutes. Oh, you remember? Yeah, yeah. You now, they download slow by a minute. Oh, I curse and swear, no. Bang, you know, Singtel is not working. Call Phuket, IDA. It's a good thing, but it takes us away from connecting with the Lord. Do you all realize that? Yeah, I know. Why? People ask me tweet. I say tweet what? Got not many followers. What? It's amazing. Ask Annabelle how many followers does he have? Never mind, just joking. Yeah, you don't have tweet lah. Okay, good. No, I didn't even know. I thought it's spelled as TWITT. They told me it's TWEET. Okay, yeah. So ongoing conversations with the Lord. No. Listen, learn to disconnect once in a while. Why must your phone be on all the time? Are you that busy? If your phone is not on, is the world going to collapse? Who holds the world? Kaechong? No. It's Jesus. Shut down for a while, no one is going to die. But if you connect with the Lord, people are going to be saved. Your heart is going to come alive. That's what I'm talking about. Stay disconnected once in a while. Engage your heart with God all the time. That's why I say there will never be a Wi-Fi in this room. No way. You're going to play Candy Crush. Anyway, Candy Crush don't need Wi-Fi. Yeah, but you're going to surf. You're going to walk, get into what and what. No, no, not that I'm your cheapo. How much does it cost to run a Wi-Fi? I want you to stay engaged and be disconnected. No, no, I agree. I like this. It's easy. I can use FaceTime, talk to my wife. But it caused me to be disengaged. No, I hard on this because let's have a culture of that we have ongoing conversation with the Lord. That's the key thing. That's the first thing. Two is obedience. You know what's the third thing? The third thing about first love is you know the heart of Jesus. Do we know the heart of Jesus right now? What is he thinking? What is he feeling? Or we think we know. We think we know. That's about first love. We'll come back, talk about it next week. Okay, turn to me to Revelation 4. The first thing. No, I'm dead sure this is the word for us, for the church to return to first love. Trust me, It's going to be loud 5 years from now. It's going to be loud. First love. Ongoing conversation. Obedience. Third one is what? Understanding the heart of God. Understanding the heart of God. Tell me the Revelation 4. Revelation 4. Revelation 4. This pertaining to, especially for us in the house, as well as any prayer movement. Not just in Singapore. Revelation 4 and 5. Revelation 4 and 5 is a vital two chapters for any house of prayer, for any prayer movement. No, it's not just a revelation of what's happening, the prayer agenda. No, I'm going to just zero in one thing because it's so vital. Because what's sustained? No, we're going to do this until Jesus returns. No, I'm serious. I ask God for grace. I'm going to do this until Jesus returns. If no one comes, I'll do it. Play CD. If no money, then I sing. Yeah, when I sing, it's really in trouble. But Revelation 4 and 5 give us a powerful key in sustaining any prayer movement. It's never about music. No, I want good music. It's never about enthusiasm. Enthusiasm carry you that far. You know, I was again at this global leadership summit on prayer movement and so on. They're all very honest. Very few prayer movement or rather houses of prayer last more than 5 years. Very few. They all get tired and weary. So there's a person who talked to me, happened to be from Singapore. He said, how do you do it in 10 years? How do you do it in 10 years? I said, the key is not music. The key is not enthusiasm. Because enthusiasm will die. You know, we all want anointed meeting all the time. So I told this person, trust me, after 10 years, I tell you, there are some sessions. You know, we start at 7:30 usually at night. By 7:45, you know that today is going to be a long day. Do you have all this meeting before? 7:45, we're going to drag ourselves across the finishing line. Do you have that? We have lots of it. No, IHOP is the same. We talked to Mike Baker. He said that IHOP is 80% boring. Yes, talk to him. He'll tell you, we are 80% boring at this moment. So what sustain? That's why I say earlier, there's a reason why God revealed heaven. He chose to show us the prayer room and how to sustain. That's why Revelation 4 and 5 is two chapters that is vital for house of prayer movement or prayer movement. Because it tells you the why, it tells you the what, it tells you the how. How do you keep that going? Chapter 4 is about the revelation of the beauty of God who sits on the throne. Chapter 5 is about the worthiness of who Jesus is. You know how to keep the prayer movement ongoing? Even with one piece of instrument, guitar with only four strings. No, I'm not talking about ukulele, I'm talking about guitar. That means you have no money to replace the two broken string. It still keeps you going. It's because of Revelation. You need to understand Revelation 4 and 5. And that answer the question of, is it necessary? Is it worth it? How do you sustain this day and night, night and day? No, there's no hurry to be day and night, night and day. But the fact that you're going to do it faithful for 10 years, every night, do you know that takes a lot? It's a pain if you don't understand that. That's why I want to take some time to talk about Revelation 4 and 5 because we need to revisit these two chapters. It's like God shouting at me because during the internship, he just keeps shouting at me, saying that it's about the beauty of God and the worthiness of Jesus. It's about the beauty of God and the worthiness of Jesus. Do you know that if you want to do house of prayer, no, I'm speaking to ourselves, even when nothing happens, no, let me just phrase it correctly. House of prayer movement is not primarily praying for something. Even after 10 years, 20 years, no one prayer is answered. No, you talk to Mike Baker, he'll tell you that. No one prayer is answered. It's still worth it because of Revelation 4 and 5. Because you need to encounter the beauty of who God is and the worth of who Jesus is. That's why Revelation 5 basically about worthy is the Lamb. So that when you do it, it seems to be a waste of time. Nothing seems to happen yet. You still keep doing it. It's because you have the revelation of the beauty of who God is and the worthiness of Jesus. The world will ask you, is it necessary? Or is it worth it? You know what's the answer? Revelation 4 and 5. Where God could have shown us anything. He chose to show us. No, I'm talking about He could show us anything when He gives us a glimpse of heaven. You know that there are very few passages of scripture that reveal heaven. God could have shown us anything. He showed us a prayer room. I mean, I wouldn't show the prayer room because most of the time our idea of prayer room is boring. We say, oh, if this heaven, I'm not going. No. You must understand. Yes, I share with you that I know someone who has an encounter of Revelation 4 and 5. The music is fantastic. But it's not the music. You need to have a revelation. So I'm bringing us back to that because we keep arguing, is it hub and bow or this? Will we do this, do that? I cannot engage and whatever. You know why we cannot engage? We dwell on music. We dwell on chord progression. No, please get your chord progression right because the singers can't sing. You talk to Jesse Underwood or Aaron Frazee, they tell you, please get the chord progression. What, four on the ground? Eh? What's the thing? Oh, four on the floor. Yeah, I see. Yeah, how director of House of Prayer, don't even know. Four on the floor, okay. You got to get some of this technical thing right. Get chord progression right. But the key is not four on the what? Four on the floor or the... I know. I'm just kidding. It's about having your heart engaged with the man who is a real man right now seated on the throne interceding. Jesus. When you have that, it keeps you going. Why do I come on Monday? Just play CD. Can't I play CD at home? No, it's about corporately coming together, engaging our heart. Oh, Jesus, grant me a revelation of your beauty and your worthiness. So I'm going to take two Fridays from a talk about Revelation 4. But I'm going to give you a thought about what the four living creatures will tell you. If you ask, is it necessary? Is it worth it? Revelation 4. Verse 6. No, I want to draw us back to understand this so that it keeps us going. No, so that we can also pray for all the houses of prayer in Singapore, whatever, so that they encounter the revelation of the beauty of this man and the worth of who he is. No, music help. That's why I say, Annabelle, please, I pay you some money, go and get guitar. No, the pay one, let me pray about it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have money. Yeah, okay. Revelation 4, verse 7. Revelation 4, verse 7. Next week, I'll talk about Revelation 2. Then subsequent Friday, 4 and 5. You need to understand these two chapters. Chapter 4 is about the beauty of God who sits on the throne. Chapter 5 is about the worthiness of who Jesus is. When He captured your heart, you're going to burn. You're going to burn, okay? Yeah. Verse 7. You must understand, worship goes on. Prayers goes on without ceasing before the throne of God. Because they love music? No. You know why? The four living creatures, no, you need to understand this. The four living creatures, they have eyes all over. You know? Sometimes I ask God, God, that is beauty. No, obviously we don't understand His heart. No, to me, it looks like chicken pox. If one day the four living creatures show up, I think I'm going to have a shock. Wow, what is that? You know, sounds like, what's the cartoon? Strat, Strat. The dream one, animal come and try to frighten the kids one. Huh? A Monster Inn. Okay. I mean, four living creatures could include it in the Monster Inn thing. You know, eyes all over. If it shows up one night, I'm going to be terrified out of my pants. What is that? Living creature? You worship before God? Wow, you know, all the eyes. So, let me read, then I tell you. If you ask the four living creature, is it necessary? Is it worth it? How do you do it all day long, all night? No, yeah, you can say yeah, because they are angels. No, we will do it forever. Listen, verse 10. No, verse 7. I'm going to tell you, you know, it's just a naughty thought, but I think likely to be quite true. The first living creature was like a lion. No, again, I read this. I have no understanding. Is it a lion or lion with all eyes over, you know, whatever, you know. No, eyes over, you know, means what? That's it. This is the four living creatures. All over, you know, below the armpit and so on, legs and so on, looking around. I suspect one of the reasons is because so that they can gaze on God. Okay. Two eyes is not good enough. No, that's my own theory, so don't buy that. Okay. Verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion. Second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. Must be quite a scary one, man, this one. Yeah. And the fourth living creature, thank God, he created us differently. Imagine I have eye all over my face. Okay, let's not get distracted. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Verse 8. The four living creature, each having six wings. They are actually, the four living creatures are actually called seraphim. Seraphim has six wings. Cherubim has two. Okay. No, four, sorry. Seraphim has six wings. Cherubim has four. Okay. Yeah. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. That means all over, you know, like chicken pox. And he listened to this. That is the principle for 24/7 prayer movement. Fire on the altar shall keep burning day and night, night and day. Like, that's why Jesus taught us how to pray. Matthew 6, verse 10. On earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to duplicate what heaven is doing here on earth. Because they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Let me pause before I read verse 9 and 10. If you have asked the living creature standing side by side with you, is it necessary? Is it worth it? How do you sustain? You know what he'll reply? I don't know whether he or she or it. No, but I don't say ever tonight come and visit me. Oh, no, I'm just joking. No, I'm just kidding. He, she, oh, no. You know what the living creature will tell you? He probably won't even bother to use all his eyes to look at you. He just used one. Because he, what kind of questions is that? We look at you one eye, you know, then we use two eyes, eyeball to eyeball. Have you seen that? Do you have a revelation of this man who sits on the throne? Have you have a revelation of this man who sits on the throne? If you have, you know, what's the response? Verse 8. Verse 9, sorry. That's why we all need to have a vision of the beauty of who God is and the worthiness of Jesus. That we need to start. No, not many of us will have that encounter or that revelation. Like, you know, you go to before the throne of God and you have a revelation of Him face to face. Not many of us will have. But we can use the scripture, which I taught your many. There are quite a number. Exodus chapter 23, Isaiah 6, Ezekiel 1 and 2, Revelation 4 and 5. Enough, inverted comma, information for you to pull it out and meditate and encounter the beauty and the worthiness of Jesus. Your heart will burn and you'll keep going. You know what would be the response? Verse 9. Whenever the living creature give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever. You know why? Because they saw. They saw. Verse 10. 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, worship Him who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." You know, verse 9 and 10 is the result of revelation that they saw in verse 1 to verse 8. Without ceasing. No, there's a place to pray for revival. There's a place for prayer leaves. But that's not going to cut it. It will not sustain you. You will burn out. For sure. That's why you need to come back to that. That's why I remember a few Fridays ago when I talked about beholding the glory of God, open up your Bible. Engage your heart using the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life. Something is going to happen. I truly believe in that. I can't prove it to you, but I know and I know and I know. Every time the Word of God is opened up, you say to God, it's never neutral. Something happened. You know, just that we always expect, oh, I say, boom, my heart changed. God doesn't work like that. It's always a process. It takes time. I feel much closer to God after 10 years of praying apostolic. No, actually more than 10 years. 20 years of praying Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. You say, wow, is there a shortcut? No, there's no shortcut. You can't choose just Ephesians 1, 17. Go all the way to 19. If you need to pray the whole book of Ephesians. But every time it's opened up, something happened. You may not feel it. The Word of God, the Bible says, I can't remember which Psalm. No, it's actually Isaiah 50. Which one? Isaiah 55. It does not fall to the ground and wasted. So don't be mistaken. We are grossly mistaken. You know one of the things that, again, I was at the prayer summit. They say, one of the things that prayer movement need to return back is the Word of God. It's true, which we talked a lot about during the internship. It's the Word of God. Because what keeps that wood burning, or rather the fire burning, is the wood. What is the wood? The Word. That is the Word of God. That is the Word of God. We have to return and open up Revelation. No, you don't have to choose Revelation 4 and 5, but open up Revelation 4 and 5. Engage your heart. It's going to work, trust me. It will. Your heart will come alive. You can pray. You can worship because you have encountered this man who sits on the throne. He's beautiful, he's glorious, he's worth it. He is. You know why worship movement dies? You know why prayer movement dies? Because they focus on music. No, I want good music. I'm praying for good musicians. If not, I sing too. No, then I will cast out every demons and cast the people out of the room too. It's about encountering this man. Last one. Turn me to Revelation 10. Revelation 10. Again, I'm going to build on it. I thought I want to end by 9, okay, but I'm keep going. Revelation 10. No, this one is really jumping out of the airport. No, what's the thing called? The safety tips in the... I'm not going to say no more United. No, scary, you know. Yeah, no, I was looking Revelation 10, no. Yeah, I said, yeah, don't have. Only my have. You know, what is that? Yeah. So maybe I should. Can I change the business class? No. There's an encounter here. You know. Yeah. I say, yeah, encounter here. Then you sit here. Yeah. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. No. I travel. You know, especially long flight. I always pray very hard for upgrade. You know. I only had it one time. Yeah. Not even business class. First class. No. Yeah. One time. Yeah, but after that, you are spoiled. You know. You always think about the first class. It's like bed. The toilet is so bigger. You know, they call you by your last name. You don't eat with plastic. You know, you eat the kong 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 kong. You know, because porcelain. And never mind. Okay. Yeah. Why am I going into that? Okay. Revelation 10. No, I'm just getting over that 30 hours of pain. You know? Yeah. Revelation 10. No, I'm sharing this about the airline. It's because I was sitting there just thinking of Revelation 2 and Revelation 4 and 5. Then right before my seat, there is this, what do you call it again? Safety tips. You know, when plane crash, what do you do? You know, yeah. So I usually don't bother. Once I go out, I sleep. You know, yeah. So I saw on the tip, Revelation 10. Huh? Just at the cart at the side. Revelation 10. No, that's United Airlines. I don't know whether they are safe or not. They don't put Revelation 10 on that list of safety tips. And the other one don't have. Revelation 10. Since I forgot, you know, because it was so painful, I forgot to bring it out. And I didn't know that phone can take picture. I mean, the phone. Okay, so I was going to ask the Lord, I said, this is a vital message. Huh? What is that? What did Joel say? Never mind. Okay. Okay, we have supper later. No, that's okay. Revelation 10. You know, I don't think it's just for our house. I think it's a message that God is inviting to press in, to understand the heart of God. Because if you understand the book of Revelation chapter 10, it's about God is going to raise up end-time prophetic messengers who understand his heart. I want to talk about it third Friday from now. And I say this especially for young people. Go after it. Take the scroll. Eat it. Take the scroll. Eat it. Because basically, Revelation chapter 10 is God promise in the last days, just before the return of Jesus. No, I'm talking about really near. He's going to raise up prophetic messengers who understand his heart and move with great power and anointing. That's why if you read Revelation 10, verse 1 to 7, it's about the seven aspects of the glory and power and anointing that God is going to release to the end time prophetic messenger. We are going to run through it three Friday. I ran through it before. I'm going to run through it one more time so that as a house, we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for the young people in this generation that they will rise up carrying the sevenfold end-time prophetic messenger anointing. The Bible calls it seven thunder prophetic voices. Yeah, I'm praying for myself too. Isn't God, maybe I just script through, no? Thunder a little bit also can. But primarily, we're going to pray this for ourselves and for the young people. I'm going to run through the last part, which is the invitation. Because there is a need for the voice to arise. We as a house, as a voice, we need to be, inverted comma, diligent to speak the word. No, we need to grow the word first. Or rather the message, and then speak the message. Because the messenger has to be the message. The message has to be the messenger. There's no two way about it. That's why that makes this forerunner message thing hard, because it has to be real, deep, and authentic. It's not about just taking something there, just say it, but there's no power. You got to pray, you got to become, and then you are really the light. That's why it has to be real, deep, and authentic. No, don't keep saying we have time. We have no time. Time is short. Press in hard. That's where later I'll talk about the children before I end. Time is short. Let me start from verse 6. And sworn by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it. Listen to this. That there should be delay no longer. You know what this statement means? Time is running out. Time is running out. There will come a time the window to respond will be closed. There are time to respond and to cry out for mercy, for grace, and to repent will be closed. Like, time is running out. Delay no longer. I mean, I tell you, if this chapter is relevant to John's time, how much more crucial, vital, and relevant for us in such a time as this, where we are the generation Jesus is returning. Don't play games. No time for games. Really. No time for just sing happy and go home. Really, I'm serious about it. You know, everybody agrees. Again, I come back to the prayer leader summit. They all agree. That's why they come together. Everybody lay down their agenda just for one goal. Because Jesus is returning. No. Nobody predicts. No one. Even if someone predicts, I walk out. But everybody agrees. Not just IHOP Kansas City. John Dawson was there. Many Big Shot was there. They all agree. They say, we put day down everything. We're going to work together just for simply one goal. Because Jesus is returning. Time is running out. We have to rearrange our life. And one of the things is really eat the scroll. Don't assume that we will be ready. Don't. Time is running out. it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. We got to prepare. I came back for more than 10 years already. It's kind of scary. No, I went back. I always go back, but this time I said, oh, Ki Chong, you've been there for 10 years. You've been returned for 10 years and so on and so on. Yeah, I know. It's like I just saw you yesterday. Yeah, because I had this friend who he do some of this errand thing, you know. It's very funny. You see, no, this one time I went back after 3 years. Then he saw me say, hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you around. Oh, you're very busy. I went back to Singapore. Really? Yeah, it's so fast. Before you realize, I give you a thought. Most of us started off doing something, isn't it? Now a lot of us are 30-something. I'm closing to 50. Before you realize, another 10 years will be gone. Don't always say we still have time. Time waits for no man. Is that such a statement? Oh, there is. Okay, good. It moves fast. Lay hold of it. We have no time. This is the invitation. The one is to pray for the sevenfold anointing, but there's an action part. That's verse 8 to 11. Let me just read through. Verse 8 to 11. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angels who stands on the sea and on the earth. You know, this is a powerful invitation. The little book, no, it's more than the Bible. Of course, no, I'm not trying to say the Bible is not big enough. No, no. It's talking about the message that God is going to speak in the last day is contained in the book. Now, it's given an invitation when the angels say, go, take it. That means he's inviting you to go and take it. No one can just receive it unless you go. But the invitation is invited. No, invitation is invited. Everybody is invited. Go and take it. And more than that, this is powerful because you go back to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel had a little book too. But it was sealed. In his time, in his season, no one fully understand. So Daniel was persistent. He kept knocking until the angels kind of like get a little bit irritated. Say, Daniel, it's not for your time and season. Seal it and go away. But here it's opened. You know why? For a time and season, God wants us to understand. But understanding needs to be cultivated. It doesn't just, revelation. Oh, suddenly I understand. That's not how it works. That's where another assumption that we have, suddenly we will understand. No, you have to buy oil. Cultivate understanding. That is the thing. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book, invitation for you to go and take it. That means press in, which is open. Powerful word again, is open. We can understand. Compared to Daniel's time, Daniel did not understand. Because if you go to Revelation 12, no, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, the book was sealed. Now it's open. Verse 9. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. I love John's response. You know, John is called the son of thunder. You know, it's a powerful picture of the prophetic messenger in the last days. The seventh thunder prophetic messenger. God is changing him from thunder in the flesh to be a thunder in the spirit. No, most of us like to be a thunder, but we are kind of full of the flesh. But God is going to transfer us from the thunder in the flesh to be thunder in the spirit. One of the keys really is the scroll. That we know the heart of God. Okay. Give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. No, don't literally eat the Bible. Okay? You know, the Chinese practice, you know, burn and drink. Don't, please. No. When I say take and eat it, is that you study the word. You meditate. You pray for understanding and revelation. No, not just understand the technical aspect of the Bible, but the heart of God concerning what he desired to do in these last days. Who is going to return as the bridegroom, king, and just take that little book, eat it. Now, no one can eat it for you. No one can take it for you. You have to take it and you got to eat it. You got to prepare yourself. No, I know. Many people say, yeah, I'm not called to teach. No, the issue is not called to teach. Do you know every one of us are teachers wherever you are? You are teacher in the marketplace. You are teacher to your student. You are teacher to your kids, if you have kids. You are teacher to your friend. Every time you say something, you are teaching someone something. See, we narrow teaching to just standing here and teach. You know, most of us will not have much. No, the issue is not important. We don't have that big platform for most of us. We all want to speak to thousands. Very few of us will speak to thousands. But yet, you are speaking to one person. You are the voice. You are a teacher. That we need to understand that. So what are you going to say right now, in this time, when you meet your friend at Starbucks drinking latte coffee? Noah's Ark movie is coming. So what else are you going to say? The days of Noah is coming. Are we clear enough to say that? And we can prove it from the scripture. Speak with conviction, like a seven thunder prophetic messenger. You got to eat the message so that the message becomes the messenger and the messenger becomes the message. So break off the mindset that, oh yeah, I won't speak to thousands. You can sing, right? Do you know that you sing, you're proclaiming the message? Someone who comes in the room, the Holy Spirit breathed not so nice music with such power, strike the heart of the people. You got to eat the message. No, eat the little book. You got to. We don't have all the time in the world. We have to respond. No one can do it for you. It's true. No one. Okay, let me finish this. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little books. And he said to me, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter. You know why I make your stomach bitter? Because you realize that pressure, the shaking, the dynamics that is going to happen in the last days. That's how you make your stomach sick. Oh God, what is happening? Okay, but thank God it's not just bitter. There's another aspect. It will make your stomach bitter. It will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. You know why honey? Because you're receiving and understanding the very heart of God, and you have the revelation of who this Jesus is returning, so that you feel, oh, it's so sweet. Because the one that I love is returning. Let me just finish it. Verse 10. Then I took the little book out of angel's hand and ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. And when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. Listen to verse 11. And he said to me, you what? What is the next word? Shall? Should? Maybe? You must prophesy again about many people, nations, tongues, and kings. Basically, he said, you shall prophesy to many people, tongues, nations, and kings. Is it an option? No. Because the unique dynamic that is going to come, people need to know. The church needs to know. Unbeliever needs to know. Your friends need to know. Your parents need to know. Many people need to know so that their hearts will not be offended. No, I'm not into that the whole world will transform perfect and Jesus will come back. No. Light will get brighter. Darkness will get darker. How do we become brighter? It all depending on how we prepare our heart. But the word is this, you must prophesy. No, I'm not saying prophesy the dark, says the Lord, tomorrow there'll be an earthquake in this island, Richter scale 5.6. No, that's not what prophecy means most of the time in the Bible. Prophecy most of the time in the Bible is foretelling, not foretelling. That means telling what is in the heart of God. What is God saying now? Now. So three things. First one is Revelation 2, verse 1 to 7. Returning to first love. That's the first thing. Second is Revelation 4 and 5. Revelation 4 about it is about the key in sustaining the prayer room and also having the understanding, vision of the beauty and the worth of who Jesus is. And Revelation 10, eat the scroll. Eat the scroll. Yeah, add on to people one thing add on to house of the watchful and the wise. No, it's all the same.